You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone else does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And then let's go down to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Isn't that great? Let this sink into your spirit. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to abide. Help us to remain in you. And Lord, to know your heart, so that we know what we need to be doing. And then when we just don't know what to do, we ask and you provide. You're so good to us. Lord, I pray, bring this word straight to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. 3 weeks from yesterday, I will be leaving for Ethiopia. It's a teaching assignment that I have in Otis Bible College for 2 weeks. And my assignment is the Gospel of John. And so for the past couple of months, I've been plowing through this Gospel. And in the past week, I've worked to immerse myself in the story again, reading through the Gospel and seeing the overarching themes. And as can happen as we work our way through a book of the Bible, I don't know if you've had this happen, but it's hard for me because I get through and I'll find some places where all of a sudden something will just kind of leap up off the page and I'll just dwell there for a while. And then I got to keep moving, you know. And so I would try to keep the movement, but from time to time there are just those particular passages. Something about the story or something about the wording, but we can get caught up in what is being said at a particular point. And John 15 has been that spot for me. And specifically that verse in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Last weekend at our leadership retreat, we had the focus of just the phrase, by faith. And in the midst of that challenge to us was the understanding of we don't focus our eyes on the promise that we may have, but our goal is to focus on the God of the promise. That we glue our eyes to the Father, and that we understand that He's the one who promised, and He's the one we latch ourselves to. Sometimes we get too focused on the promise, and we may miss what God is actually wanting to do and to work in our lives. And I think of this in terms of where we are as a church and the meeting that we're going to have on Wednesday, where we've asked for the last month for everyone to be praying, and as we've prayed, we want to hear from God and we need to see where the Lord is leading us. And the way forward for us is going to be found in our willingness to attach ourselves to Christ. It is found in doing what Jesus is saying to His disciples in this passage. Abide, remain, attach yourself to me. And this is the call that Jesus has constantly given His disciples, and it goes all the way back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. And if you would, turn back there to chapter 1. Because this is the pattern which Jesus took up. In the first part, you have the prologue, the introduction, the first 18 verses, and then you have the introduction of John the Baptist. But then in verse 35 is Jesus calling his first disciples. It says the next day, again, John, meaning John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus, and as he walked by, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come, and you will see." And that call that Jesus gives his disciples in John 15 goes all the way back to wanting them to remember, what was it when I first called you? You know, and so in those verses all the way through the end of the chapter there in John chapter 1, you have the story of Jesus calling several disciples. And you've got John the Baptist, he sees Jesus passing by and he points to his own disciples and he points them to the direction of Jesus and he gets his followers to turn from following him to following Jesus. And he says, "Go see what that man is doing." And so they begin to walk after him, and Jesus, you know, he sees them following, and he asks what they wanted, and they're caught a bit off guard. You know, I mean, so you ever have that where you just go, "Wow, if I ever had the opportunity to meet somebody, this is what I'd ask them." And then you meet somebody, and they ask, "What do you want?" And you go, That's never happened to you. It's happened to me. You're just going, it just goes out. You know, and they knew what they wanted. They wanted to say, "We want to follow you." But Jesus, he says, "What is it that you want?" And they said, "What hotel are you at?" Wow! You know, I'm thinking, they're probably inside going, "Tunk, oh!" You know, that's not the question. You know, where are you staying? But Jesus gives the answer that is the answer we need to give to people in this invitation. And the invitation is, "Come and see." And he invites them into his life and says, "Let's just walk and talk about this." And that's the invitation of abiding and remaining. And that's the true invitation of Christianity. Christianity shouldn't be about our ability to quote doctrine. It should be about our hunger to follow Jesus. When he says, "Come and see," we go. We follow. We hang out. We listen. We ask questions. We observe. And Jesus is inviting them to that in John chapter 15. And he's calling them and he's reminding them what brought them in the first place. Come and see. Attach yourself. Abide, remain, follow me. He is the true vine. Life is found in the vine. Branches draw their sustenance from being attached to the vine. They have to be attached. And then the vine has to be the source. And Jesus was willing to be the source. If the branches aren't attached to the vine, there's no chance of fruit. And we need that hunger. We need a hunger to walk after Jesus, even if we don't know the way that he is always taking us. We trust him. In John chapter 6, which we looked at last week at the leadership retreat, Jesus starts with this huge crowd because he's fed them. He's fed the 5,000 and they're following him and they want to see and they want to see more miracles and all of these things. And Jesus then begins to whittle the crowd down so much so that they can't understand what he's saying and they just move off. And pretty soon Jesus looks around and he's only got a few of his disciples left. And he said, "Are you out of here too?" And in that moment, true discipleship happened. Because Peter spoke for the others. When he gets it, they get it. They say, "Where else can we go? You alone have the words of life." Even if we don't know what the heck you just said, it's something and you've got it. And that's what we have to be willing to do. We don't know always what's ahead of us, but we always need to know who is ahead of us. And we need to have as our mentality, Lord, we do not come up and go from here unless your presence leads us. And that's our cry. That's what we want as a body. That's what we want as believers. And this is where we find ourselves as a church. We are needing to hear the voice of the Master. And as we hear, we follow. We're at the point of possibly heading down a path we've never gone as a body. Not since I've been here. But we're called to figure out that route as we listen to the Navigator. We are called to abide. And this is a time where we attach ourselves to the Savior and to plunge ourselves into His Word again, to hear His voice in prayer, and to listen with discernment to each other. And when we abide in that vine, we bear fruit. About fruit is sometimes we take a very Western Christian mentality and we think fruit means souls, just numbers. You know, numbers start to add up and do you have any fruit in your ministry? Meaning, does you have people? You have numbers? Do you have... But it's not about souls. It's about kingdom character. That's the fruit. That's the lasting fruit. That when people look at you and me and us as a body, do they have the opportunity to see Christ? Do they have the opportunity to look at someone in this church, in this body, and say, man, while everybody else gets outraged about things, you stay pretty calm. When everybody else wants to curse their enemy, you're blessing them. What is going on? The fruit. Fruit, the fruit of following Christ is looking like Christ. Fruit is about learning to bless when the world would curse. Fruit is learning to turn away anger when the world would rather see than hatred. Fruit is about living out life as Jesus would if He were here in our place. The realization is that without Him, we can do nothing of significance. Nothing that will be lasting. And what we are called to is lasting fruit. So when we need what is necessary to bear that fruit, we ask. And Jesus, in verse 7 and verse 16, says, you ask for what you need, and the Father will give it. When we know we don't have the capability to bless instead of curse, we ask. When we know we would rather seethe in anger rather than forgive, we ask. When we know we're challenged to give something and we don't know where those resources are going to come from, we ask. The nature of the kingdom is to ask. And that's when we're walking and abiding in Christ and we find that these are the things that we need to be doing and we don't know where the resources are going to come from. He says, you ask the Father because He has put you in this situation and He has the resources that will get you through this situation. Hear His Word. When we are attached, we find the source that we need for all that is given. And Jesus reminds them. And as He walks them through about what it means to abide in Him, He reminds them of the simplicity that is needed to follow Him. And it's found in simple obedience. Verses 10 and 11, He says, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus doesn't ask us to follow Him to make us miserable. He asks us to follow Him that we would be joy-filled. He abides with His people, and He has promised this from the start. All of these Old Testament passages, Exodus 25:8, says, let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Exodus 29:45, I will dwell among the people of Israel and be their God. Leviticus 26, 11, and 12. You never read Leviticus. I know that. But look what's in the middle of it. Man, that's flyover territory, like Kansas, you know? But right in the middle of this, it says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Right in the middle of Leviticus. All the sacrifices and all the porpoise skins and the bells and pomegranates and all that stuff is this promise. I will dwell with you. I ask you to do this so that I can come be with you like no other God. Exodus 37, 27 and 28, my dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. If we abide, we desire to walk in kingdom power, and if we need something, we ask, and we find the joy of obeying His lead. And then He brings them to one of His commands as a reminder. He says, you obey, you follow my commands. And then He brings the command to them in verse 12. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We need to understand the depth of the kingdom. To love when antagonism or silence or hatred is the norm of this world. His commands aren't easy, but He gives us the power to fulfill His call. We are to abide, and in that abiding, we walk in joyful obedience. We need the rest that we can experience in our souls in reading verses like verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. We didn't choose God. He came after us. And the call is to go and bear lasting fruit, and that is only possible because He empowers us. And because He empowers us, we can ask for what we need. Jesus is beyond adequate. He is abundant. And then it changes course in verse 18. And it gets pretty sober. It says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. You've got this last part where He walks them through. You know, you ask, attach yourself to me, ask what you need, and I'm going to give it, and the Father will give it, and you're going to have my presence, and I'm going to remind you what you need to do, and all of these things are going to just, you know, be increased into your life. But that doesn't mean it's easy. Because you're going to walk in a world that will hate you because they hate me. It's realizing that the joy-filled life that we have in the kingdom isn't always happy in this present age. There are people who will simply not like the followers of Christ. His call of allegiance directly conflicts with the allegiances they already have in this world, and that creates a spiritual war. And we need to know this score. We need to understand that. Now, that doesn't mean we make ourselves nasty people to try to get people to hate us. Amen? Don't shout me down here. Let's try that again. That doesn't mean we make ourselves nasty people so people will just hate us. Amen? You follow Christ in a joy-filled way. But that doesn't always work out so well. But we need to know this score. So, let's just lay it on the line right here. When I hear someone say, I could love Jesus, it's His followers I can't stand. We need to realize that may be true to a certain extent if we're talking about, you know, Westboro Baptist Church. But we also need to understand it's a smokescreen. Because in all truth, if Jesus could really talk to you about following Him, you probably wouldn't like what He had to say anyway. Now, that doesn't excuse me. I still live a joy-filled life. And I still love. and I still extend myself. But I'm not going to let anybody throw up a smoke screen and say, Jesus, I could stand, but his followers, I can't. That's just not true. Because the truth of the matter is you probably have a problem with Jesus as well. And we got to talk about those allegiances, and we got to talk about those gods that you're following after, and the allegiance of the king. This world hated him. And he says to his disciples, they will turn and hate you as well. We are facing a collision course all around the world. Hundreds of thousands of Christians displaced or killed in Syria and Iraq. Churches burned in Nigeria. Threats all around. And while we're beginning to see the challenges even in our own country, we understand, and we need to be fully aware, it doesn't compare. Even the pressures that we start to see doesn't compare with what's going on with our dear brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. I am just not going to call this persecution. It's a shift. It's a shift in mentality. I'm not saying it's not. But I haven't been displaced from my home, and I haven't had a letter painted on my house. We have to be aware, and we have to understand it's still a spiritual battle. And we need to understand that. The call is to abide, to dwell in His presence, to soak ourselves in His Word, in prayer, in worship, longing to hear His voice and His leading. To get ourselves to the place where hour by hour, day after day, we bring ourselves to say, Lord, I want to know in this hour what it is to trust Your presence. For the things that I'm going to have in this hour, the conversations that I will have, the opportunities that You may put in front of me, I want to be able to trust You for this hour. And day after day, just try to draw ourselves in some way into that loving presence to say, I want to hear Your voice in this hour, and then this hour, and then this hour. I want to rely. I want to draw my life from You, dear Jesus. Abide. And we need to abide as a church as well. And this is where we are in the process. This is what we find ourselves in. On Wednesday, we're going to talk about the property and some possibilities of the way forward. And we ask, and as leaders, we've been asking, what's ahead and what's the Lord leading us to? And we know what the bigger issues are for us in that regard. And let me just go over those just as a reminder. When it comes to, you know, what we're seeking the Lord with in concern for this property and what the Lord may want to lead us to. But the first thing is one of the biggest things, it's accessibility. And we've reached a point where we just want to quit making the building a barrier, where it's accessible for people to get in and have a way to, you know, we don't have to not have people, you know, turned away because they're in a wheelchair or they can't get up some stairs. You know, and we want to have that place where people can come in and out. But the second thing is just as great. It's creating opportunity. It's the possibility of another place that might be a business incubator that could actually unleash more creative power in our church and through our church and into our community. Where we have the possibility, as we pray about this, just to have an opportunity to be a constant presence within the city. Not that, you know, we're all going to become employees or something like that, but we build a business that becomes a contributor to the community, and has a place, an abiding presence that 7 days a week the community has the opportunity to interact with some aspect of what we're doing. The third thing is we want desire to have a constant presence in our community. So offering not only the possibility of a business, but other opportunities for groups to meet, for artists to flourish, for spaces for conversation, for ESL classes is a possibility, for support groups is a possibility, for a space where we can give the opportunity, not just for Heights Church, but for Columbia Heights. And not just for Columbia Heights, but for Columbia Heights churches. That we could say to all churches, hey, if you want to if you want to have your, you know, your young adult group hang out for what, you know, we have some space here. Why don't you just use it? If you have support groups, if you, AA groups or things like that where they just need a place to meet, ESL groups or after-school tutoring programs, those kinds of things where we can be a consistent, constant presence and blessing in our community. To where we always have that opportunity to be that presence, that abiding presence in our community. And the fourth thing is the opportunity that we could have to multiply leaders as we multiply services. That we're not as concerned about as we grow just finding a bigger space, but as we grow, multiplying services. And as we multiply services, then we want to keep training more people so that they can lead services, so that we can have train more people to have the opportunity to teach the word and lead in worship and in different styles and in different ways, and to be able to multiply ourselves so that ultimately we can begin to think about that vision the Lord's given us over the last couple of years of beginning to multiply ourselves into Northeast Minneapolis and to plant new churches and to find ways, and we can develop it out of a system and a place that is a constant possibility of a breeding ground. Those are the big blocks. How it looks, I don't know. And I'm just going to be honest. You know? I'm just... you know, but while I don't know the exact picture of exactly where, I can't tell you the building it's going to be. I just can't. Wish I could. I can't. But I can tell you this. I can tell you I want my eyes and I want your eyes glued to the one who's calling us to immense possibilities. That's what I want. And that's what we want as leaders. We want to see what God is doing, and we want to find ways to be much more involved in this community and have those opportunities for, not just for growth in numbers for our church, but a multiplication of the kingdom of God. And how that's going to happen is we abide in that vine. Can't do it on our own. I can't think my way to this. I can't exert enough energy for this. But I sure know I want to be attached to the one that's calling us and see where he's going to lead us. And that's where we find ourselves. So it's this matter of saying we want to hear, you know, and we want to see. And what lies ahead in just this decision has an opportunity. It has a couple of opportunities. It has the opportunity of faith, or it has the opportunity of anxiety, or a little both. So if we attach ourselves to Christ, lessens the anxiety, increases the faith. If we have a lot of anxiety, we may need to attach a little more, draw a little more life. But we need to hear what the Spirit wants to tell us, and then and be able to move. Whether it's this particular decision on a building or looking at our faith in this ever-changing world, these are the things that we need to look at and hold on to from this passage. So just a few things here. We are called to abide. We are to hear and obey His commandments. And out of our ability to abide arise these three things: faith, love, and fruit. Faith, love, and fruit. In faith, we can begin to realize that there is no doubt that can come against us that can't be moved off by faith when we abide. But we have to be abiding. There is no hatred that can't be conquered by love when we abide. And there is no barrenness in the kingdom when we are attached to Christ, and there is fruit in that attachment because we abide. These are opportunities These are opportunities for anxious moments. These are opportunities for faith-filled moments. And our ability to abide in His presence helps us to determine which emotion will rule in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You would help us to abide. We need to know the way forward. We want to know Your presence. We want to sense Your leading. And Lord, there are times where we come to a place where we need to know this is You. And Lord, we've come to that place here for us as a body. And so, Lord, we want to attach ourselves to You and just say, Lord, we want to trust You. Would You sing with me just a cappella, the first verse in the chorus, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus. I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we confess there are those anxious moments in our lives. Lord, we confess there are those anxious moments as a church. But Lord, we need ourselves attached to the vine. And so, Lord, attach ourselves. Let us attach ourselves to You today. Let us just find life flowing into our spirits. Lord, the nature of the kingdom is to ask, and so I ask that we would find ourselves attached to You as the body, that Heights Church would have this wonderful, blessed attachment to the Savior, and we would have our sails up, and the wind of the Spirit could hit those sails, and we hear. Lord, in this nervousness and anxiety, may we just have Your presence leading us. And Lord, don't let us fall back out of fear. Let us just fall into Your great grace and Your provision. We trust You. So let us hear You, I pray. Bless the Lord. Every week we come to this table. This is part of our worship. This is a key part of who we are as believers. And we celebrate the work of Christ in our lives. This table is open for all who follow Jesus Christ. Not just those who are a member of Heights Church, but those who follow Christ, who are attached to Christ. This place of worship is for you. This is the table prepared by our Savior to remind you of His work in your life so that every week we have those reminders. This is one way to continue abiding, is to remember His work done for us in the then out of the power of that work, we can move forward into the week that's ahead before us. It's abiding in the brokenness of His body and in the shedding of His blood and in the power of His resurrection that we can understand today as we worship at this table that whatever is ahead for us this week, He's already gone ahead of us and He's prepared the way. So we need that reminder and worship as we come to this table. The Scripture calls us to take part in this in a serious way, to examine ourselves, to where we take the time to examine and allow ourselves for times for confession. And so as we prepare ourselves today, I'm just going to ask us to dwell in silence for a few moments here and just let this be a time of inner reflection where the Spirit can begin to speak to our hearts. And we just say, Lord, here I am. I want to abide in You. So Lord, if there are some things that I need to get taken care of, I need Your Spirit to speak to me, and I want those taken care of right here, right now. There may be issues of forgiveness. There may be issues of unresolved conflict. There may be issues of where you need the Lord's faith in something. Or whatever it is, we just want to take that time. So we're going to take a few moments here and just give a space for us to have the Spirit speak to us. And there may be a time of confession that you need to have between you and the Lord as you prepare your heart. So we're going to take a few moments here and just reflect and examine. Thank You, Jesus.